Hi, my name is Ms. Harding. I'm going to be conducting an interview today of an immigrant story, and I'm really excited. And we are going to introduce the interviewee. What is your name?
Hi guys, my name is Ruth Crawford. And yeah.
Thank you, that is your name. Okay, great. Okay, where were you born? Ms. Crawford.
I was born in Ghana, West Africa. I was born in this, I'd say like a little village in a place called Obuasi, which is where a lot of Ghana gets its gold from, and also where a majority of the world gets its gold. So I always remember that part of Ghana. Yeah.
Where did you immigrate from? Ghana.
West Africa. Yeah.
Okay, when did you leave?
I left in 2006, and I think it's a little months before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember the day you left?
I don't remember exactly the day, but I remember like the what exactly was happening like 2 days prior. But the day prior to us leaving, I just remember all the hectic things my mom and I had to do, and my brothers and I had to do, in terms of like packing, making sure every single thing had the proper weight, and getting cars ready to take us to the airport and all that kind of stuff, and making sure like we were well versed in terms of like when we get there, what we're gonna do in terms of like with our passports and things like that. And me being the oldest, how to hold on to my brothers and make sure they were not running away from me, and like we were focused kind of thing. But yeah.
Do you remember landing in the United States?
Yes, I remember. And this would be like, this is like a vivid thing that that's always in my head. So I believe we landed JFK, and is it the Washington Bridge?
I think so.
Yes, Washington Bridge, and we flew, like we were flying, and then I think we had this whole skyline, and it was beautiful because I had the window seat, and I think my brothers wanted that too, so I was just like, okay, let's all just like creep a little bit, and my little brother Courage, who could not, was not even that tall, but so I let him like sit over me and like so he can take a peek a little bit, or I switch seats with him so he can see it. But it's just like beautiful lights were like shining, and we saw the bridge, which was just like, I don't know, it was intense, but I absolutely love it. Was it
in the middle of the day?
No, it was at night.
Okay, so we saw the nighttime skyline.
Yeah. And
that must have been amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think that's something that I'll hold on forever and ever. And then
No,
it's fine.
Had you left the country before?
No, never left. I've always like traveled from I'd always migrated from like city to city.
Right.
And never like moved outside of Ghana.
Right.
Yet. Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
And so you hadn't been on a plane before?
Never been on a plane.
I
would say like the first time I'd been on the plane was during like an excursion from a school.
Oh, okay.
And we just did like the whole like let's go look at a plane kind of thing. And we sat inside and we were just like thinking to ourselves like, wow, one day I'm gonna be on something like this, like, but it would actually be taking off kind of thing.
So it was just like a stationary plane.
Yes,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, it was pretty interesting. Then we landed. And the whole going through customs and everything was just hectic.
Yeah.
But I believe we had like we had someone with us to like escort us through the whole process, which was really cool.
Right.
And then we got our bags, and then we were waiting to, you know, there's just like a little waiting area, you know, where everyone waits for their family and every single thing like that. And I'm not sure if I got to see my dad. I believe it was my brother. And he just saw
this. He saw him first.
He saw him first. And it was this whole huge, gigantic man, like, tall. So, of course, my brothers were like, that has to be him. You know, they've never seen him before.
They had never seen him.
Yeah, but they've seen photos, you know. Had, like, a little interaction here and there, I believe, if I'm uh-huh. not, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh.
And we just saw him. We're like, yep, that's him.
Uh-huh. He looks like us.
He looks like us. We uh-huh. just like all ran and
went. Did you home. Had you met him before? Had you seen him really?
I've seen him, but I keep on like forgetting this part. I remember a little bit of him.
Yeah.
Right? Saw pictures for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one story that I always remember, and he's always been like fascinated about how I remember the story, because there is no photograph of the story.
Yeah.
But he was, of course, he was there. Right. But he does not understand how I remember
it. How you remember it.
And I think I was like 4 years old.
Yeah.
And I still have this memory.
Yeah. It was foundational for you.
Yes. Uh-huh. It was on the beach because uh-huh. he loved the water.
Uh-huh.
And I was next to him, and I remember this like huge silhouette. I just like standing over there, and I think it was sun setting or something, and the sun was hitting the water, so it was glistening, and it was like hitting him. So mm-hmm. I always remember that story. I was just like, yeah, and I told him when we got here, and he was like, I don't understand how you remember the story, because yeah. I don't think you're like,
you were a what's it, sentient being.
Yeah, just yeah. I'm like, but okay.
Uh-huh.
But
and does he, can he corroborate that story?
He said that's very accurate, and yeah. you, I think it was just him. My brothers were not born yet, or about where my mom was pregnant, but
yeah
I was like, he's like, interesting. I can't say it was, because it's honestly kind of shocking. He yeah. says that you remember that story. I'm like, yeah, well, I do.
That is like the most beautiful
yeah.
thing ever.
No,
to have in your head.
Yeah, yeah, I love it, and I have it written down,
you
so I can remember.
Write it down.
Yeah, so I can keep on remembering
the
story.
Well, now
yes,
we have it on audio.
Yeah,
very exciting.
Yes, okay. I'll never forget it. Yep.
Well, so then when you saw him in the airport,
yes,
and that was like your. Did you actually had you thought about that having that memory before that day? When you saw him in the airport, is that how you, when you, did you know that that was the last time you really saw him? Was
no.
when you were
in,
that on the beach that day?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to go, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, because that's wrong. Because a couple months prior before we were leaving, I think he was there so he can solidify some stuff for immigration.
Uh-huh.
And he did like a little camp, so that's when my brothers, yes, I have a photo of that. I think that's when we all met him after yeah. a very long time.
Right.
I think I was still like 9.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's 11, 9, and 6, right? And
when
we
you
saw
came
him.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's when, before leaving.
Before leaving.
That's when we saw him for the very first time, so we were a little confused. We're like,
right.
Well, this is our dad, but like my yeah. brothers and I were like, oh.
Yeah, and still, when you're going to go see him in the airport,
yeah.
you're still not sure.
You're still not sure,
yeah.
but then, of course.
And you just had this crazy life-altering experience
yeah.
of traveling for the first time.
Yeah, but
yeah.
It was cool.
That's and a cool story.
Yeah, I remember we got out of the airport, and it was really cold, and
yeah.
my brothers and I were, like, blowing
yeah.
the air, and we're like, I think my brother goes, look, I'm smoking. I'm like, oh,
yeah, you actually have that memory.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And then I think my dad had a coffee in his hand.
Uh-huh.
And we've never seen like a coffee, like a the container, like that looking. But remember it from Over the Hedge, if you've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, I've
yeah.
seen that movie. I just yeah. thought about that movie the other day. That's
yeah.
so weird.
We've like literally we're always like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And when we're in Ghana, we watched and we're like, we want to try this.
Yeah.
So when we saw our dad with it, it was hot chocolate.
Oh.
So we tried it for the first time, like obsessed with it.
Yeah.
The whole idea of like, why would a coffee, I mean, chocolate being like that kind of thing. You'd
right.
always think.
Why is it
like
hot?
Hot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, then we, my dad took us to like a chicken place. So we got like popcorn chicken.
Oh my god, I
why
love
is popcorn chicken.
Chicken
like a popcorn
was it not
chicken?
From Kentucky Fried Chicken?
I want to say it was.
Because they used to have those laptops.
Yes.
Yes.
It was.
And there was mashed potatoes.
Yes.
And popcorn chicken.
Yes.
I love
yes.
those. Like, that was like Christmas Day for
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
What a beautiful.
I know. I remember. I was just like, what are these foods and
uh-huh.
why are they? Why is there like chocolate in this
yeah.
cup and like
yeah.
chicken in a popcorn size?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. So, but we loved it.
Uh huh.
And then we went home.
To where your dad lives now?
No, in a different area. It's Hastings.
Uh huh.
a huge, I remember, because, yeah, Hastings and Hudson, which now I realize as, like, a history person, like,
yeah,
where a bunch of famous wars happen, and also looking at, is it Henry Hudson?
Yeah.
Right. So the whole idea of, like, Hillside and the whole shooting... war happening, yeah,
it's all coming back to me.
Yeah, I was like thinking about it. I went back last year and I was like, oh my god, like thinking about it now,
yeah,
like Hastings and Hudson, that's like,
yeah,
a very monumental place, like,
uh-huh,
play tennis on the water, all
right,
this stuff. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, at my own room for the very first time.
Uh-huh.
My dad made it very pretty, which is really cool.
Awesome.
And my brothers had the
pumpkin.
And
so you all saw this on the first day, like,
yeah,
this was your first day.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then my brothers had their own rooms, which they loved. They had a bunk bed. They were like, what the crap? And
popcorn, chicken,
yeah,
bunk beds.
It was just amazing to
my
them.
My favorite things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really cool. I think it was like the first time we'd all had our own separate rooms.
Right.
And
so this must have been a big space.
It was a pretty big space in,
yeah,
our eyes. Like,
yeah,
going back there, we're like, how?
These,
but
are
you
small,
were
little
rooms, kids,
but,
yeah.
Yeah.
We're little kids. But no, my dad, one thing that I'll always be appreciative of my dad is that the fact that he always did his best to put us in, like, safe spaces.
Right.
Like, Hastings could have, like, literally, it was a safe, like, safe
safest
space.
Place to,
yeah,
bring you.
To be in. Made sure we went to, like, the best schools, you,
uh-huh,
know?
Uh-huh.
Whether it be in Ghana and whether it be in the States. So,
uh-huh,
think about it right now. I'm, like happy,
uh-huh,
that he worked his butt off for us to have that opportunity to make sure his kids were safe.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, and then the first night he goes, like, okay, do you all want to sleep in the, like, same bed or, like, together, you know?
Right.
Because it was the first time we were like, no.
Yeah.
We were all in our own separate rooms, which,
yeah,
he goes like, oh my god, of,
uh-huh,
course. Now these kids are going to turn into, like, a bunch of, like, teenagers since they're all here now.
Yeah.
But he absolutely loved the idea of, like,
you having your own space.
Freedom, you know?
Yeah.
Like, my kids are my kids, so my kids being kids kind,
yeah,
of thing. And,
uh-huh,
not having to worry, like, kind of thing.
Uh-huh. And take care of each other as,
yeah,
much as, I mean,
yeah,
there's a difference between, like, raising your kids to,
yeah,
take care of each other and to,
yeah,
have them have every responsibility,
exactly,
of taking care of you. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was really, really cool. And then the next morning, I think we, like, explored, you know.
My gosh, it sounds like the fun. Was it exciting for you or were you scared?
I was excited and nervous, and because I'm almost like a very, like,
yeah,
like, you're, I'm always, like, tense because, like, if I don't know what my area,
yeah,
is, like, I, like, to this day, I'm, like, tense. I'm like, okay, let me just, like, scan this place,
yeah,
before I enter. But of course my brothers were, like,
running off the walls.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm in America, like, bye.
Yeah.
they're really funny. But yeah.
That must have been a really intense moment for your dad to bring all of you,
mm-hmm,
in and,
yeah,
be like, hello, children.
Exactly.
Like, welcome to your space. This,
yeah,
is your own house now.
Yeah.
You're going to live here.
Yeah.
And you had every intention of living,
mm-hmm,
there,
mm-hmm,
until, like, you were graduated, or, right? Like, you,
yeah,
had no plan on leaving. Like,
no,
it wasn't, like, a temporary thing.
No.
Right.
Yeah. We were there for, yeah, I want to say, like, 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Because of, like, my dad with tennis and all that kind of,
right,
stuff. But yeah, then we moved to Orlando for tennis opportunities because my dad was a big,
right,
big tennis person. But yeah, it's funny because when you said that, it reminded me of, like, my first day of school.
Yeah.
Remember the halls?
In 11, are you in 6th grade or 5th grade?
6th grade, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Going through the halls, and I had this, like, huge jean skirt on.
Yes.
I never wore pants because of, like, church back in Ghana.
Right.
Since even though I still play tennis, I hated wearing skirts.
Right.
Because the idea of back then, the idea of a girl wearing a skirt, short skirt, or a short,
yes,
yeah, was not, like, a thing.
Right.
So I wore this skirt and the top, and we were walking around through the classrooms, and I had all these kids peep out of the doors,
yeah,
like,
the
waving.
Window.
And,
uh-huh,
I was like, are they looking at me?
Yeah.
Like, what
you're,
are
like,
doing?
A shiny new toy.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, who is this girl? I'm
like, who is this girl with this giant jean
skirt?
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, looking at my dad, like, why are these people looking at me? Uh-huh. I mean, everyone's just very curious.
Right, you know? Of course. Yeah. Were your brothers in the same school as you?
No. It was part of the school, but it was on the hillside, so it's, like, up on the hill on the different part of the
building.
Land. Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But, yeah. Then, I think, first day or second day of, like, school, I had someone help me with how to use a locker, which is really cool.
Really monumental.
Which I forgot this girl's name, but I always remember her face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to think about it because she held my locker over and over and over, and I never knew how to use it.
She never gave up on you.
She never gave up on me. Yeah. And, like, through the whole entire time mm-hmm. of being at... sixth grade, I was still, like, loved her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what about, I never asked you this before, but did you speak English?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did speak English. Till now, I am not sure which one I picked up first.
French or English?
No, it was TWI, which is like...
TWI.
Yeah, which is like one of like the dialects in Ghana.
Right.
The mother of Tri, which I like to put it that way because it's much more understanding in my head. Uh-huh. I understand it better. Uh-huh. Is Fanti. Uh-huh. Fante, yeah, which is my mom's language, but mm-hmm. she understands like five of them.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether I picked up English first or I picked up tree first. Mm. But yeah, we spoke English before coming to the States.
Were you learning English in school?
Yeah, learning English in school, and then of course we had like an uncle and a tutor who taught us more English when we came back and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Of course, watching like American movies.
Right, over the hedge.
It. Yeah, over the hedge, just trying to get the whole language lingo thing down.
And then were you learning French like in high when you came here, or were you learning French in school there too?
Yeah, French was always part of it. We learned English, French, and Ga, which is my dad's language.
Okay.
Yeah, so we learned that as well in school, but I also learned it because my grandma, my dad's side, my brothers and I lived with both of them for quite a while, so we picked that as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so
we're talking about with the students that mm-hmm. In other countries people speak multiple languages from young ages mm-hmm. and it's just second nature.
Yeah.
And I think that's something they're all really interested in mm-hmm. and they wish that they could bring here. So hearing that, I mean, it's so cool. And that your mom speaks five languages.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Sure. And understands at least five.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's really cool. And I think it's due to history too. And right. I think as America grows to be much more like diverse and not just like a sense of like,
melting pot
versus
salad bowl.
I've never heard of that term, but that's really cool. Uh-huh. But like when everyone gets to get like a little bit closer almost, that's when you know language becomes much more like fluid. Like,
right.
Kids will go to like they would have, you would have like a tree person living in one place, then there's a god person in another place, and then there's
in a neighborhood.
Yeah, and then there's like a Muslim family living, and you know everyone spoke different languages. Like if you couldn't speak it, you understood it,
right?
You know, so you had kids like roaming around and listening to various various languages at a young age.
Yeah,
so you know it clicks right away.
And it's so interesting too what that does to like the neurons in your brain.
Exactly.
And that like you are able, I don't know, your brains just become more complex.
Yeah.
And like you're able to pick things up in a different way than people who only speak one language can. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so cool. I wish I could know more.
No, I think you can still do it. It depends on where you are too.
Yeah.
And who you surround yourself with also. Mm-hmm. And at a young age with kids, you're like, what is it, a sponge?
Yeah.
You like soak up, you want to know every single thing that's happening.
I know.
And you soak up every single thing. But
Heard it here, kids. Listen to your language teachers.
Yes.
And respect their mission to bilingualize you.
Yes.
It's very exciting. Mm-hmm. So we have skipped through some of these questions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you're here and you're in school mm-hmm. and you're learning how to use lockers mm-hmm. and you're eating popcorn chicken. Mm-hmm. What did you take with you from Ghana to here, to New York? And then to Orlando.
Life was definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I'm trying to think from what my perspective, like what I felt during, like during my time when I was little. I mean, everything was big, mm-hmm. you know, everything was like vast. You could spread out on very quickly.
Right.
Back home, everything was like tight in terms built of like, family, yeah, oh, yeah, kind of thing. And also just like space in general.
Yeah.
Every back home, it was, I don't want to use, it was not clay. Mm-hmm. Was like a huge thing.
Right.
For me, clay is beautiful. Right. And everything here in the States is very clear.
Right.
In the fact that everything is white.
Right.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
But like that that type of thing.
Yeah.
And thinking about it now, and I've always like thought about it, I felt like I am suffocated, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then the other time when I went back to Ghana, this might sound a little like cliche and corny.
Yeah.
And I landed on that clay.
Yeah.
My heart just like sank. Like,
yeah.
I like, you know, like yeah. the whole idea, like humans are from Africa.
Right.
Like I settled, my heart settled and I was like happy. I didn't know how to describe it, but mm-hmm. I was just like, literally just like looking outside. I'm like,
When you close your eyes, what color is that clay of the earth?
It's like almost orange.
Almost orange, right?
It's orange.
Yeah.
Because whenever you fly off, when you're like, I'm not sure how many feet you're off.
Yeah.
It's literally orange. And
right.
some people might see it as pollution or uh-huh. whatever, but
yeah.
I just see it as like...
Home.
Like home.
Yeah.
You know? It's not pollution. It's literally what the earth looks like.
Right.
You know? And you can use it for various... People die to have that kind of type of color in
right.
other places.
Right.
That's how I see now. During that time, what did I take from me? I just remember leaving. My mom always told me, take care of your brothers. And to this day, I still hold on to it.
Yeah.
And it's something whereas, like, my stepmom is like...
Yeah.
Like, yes, she did say that. But Ruth, you gotta, like...
Live your own life.
You gotta live your own life, you know?
Yeah.
You're a 23, 24-year-old
yeah.
woman.
Yeah.
And you gotta branch out of that. Regardless, I know your mom told you this.
Right.
But...
She respects that and understands that.
Yeah, but
yeah.
you have to understand, like, we're using this word, which is very cool that we're talking about this in our class.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, assimilate to
yeah.
what's happened here.
Uh-huh.
You can bring your stuff, but you're not gonna be as successful.
Yeah.
Almost, it's gonna be very hard, you
uh-huh.
know? And it's not to say, like, disregard who you were back home in Ghana.
Right.
But it's also to say, like... Open your heart to new things.
Right.
In that sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one is saying leave everything, but just be able to mesh in.
Right.
But meshing in was hard.
Yeah.
What
are the hardest ways for you to mesh in? So one of them was like letting your brothers go a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Letting my brothers go, not feeling like I was like the mother to do every single thing, which is very hard because when your mom tells you at 9 years old in Ghana, like,
take
I mean, 11 years
kids.
Old in Ghana, you take it to heart, you know,
yeah.
like, you're supposed to be cooking at that age,
yeah.
you know,
uh-huh.
so, I'm like, I got, this is the only thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
I cannot let go, like, I gotta do it,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I forgot what else I was gonna say.
what else was really tough for you to get used to in terms of assimilation to this new place that's all clear?
One thing that I always remember was the classroom.
Mm.
My favorite part of being it's Farragut Middle School in Hastings.
Yeah.
Is being in the history classroom.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was like the best time of my life, even though some if you look in deeper, I'm not that great in history. But it was my favorite time
uh-huh.
in school. It was how the teacher taught the class.
Yeah.
I remember
throughout the years or that first year?
It was that first year.
Uh-huh.
It was how the class was set up.
Uh-huh.
We always did the Pledge of Allegiance, even though till now I'm just like, why do we still say this thing?
Yeah.
I have a different idea of it. But
uh-huh.
I was just like,
yeah.
I was like, stood up, I had my hand on my chest, and I memorized it. I remember one night I memorized this whole entire thing. I was like,
uh-huh.
I'm going to say it because...
Yeah.
I got it similar, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be part of this kind of thing.
Right.
And I was very happy to do it. And we talked about like ancient Greece, Mesopotamia, yet Paris in class. And every Friday we had root beer, which I did not like root beer because of beer. So I'm like, I am never drinking. Why are we drinking beer at this age?
You had like these conservative thoughts.
Yeah. Why? Uh-huh. And we had Tostitos and salsa, which was my favorite.
My gosh, I'm on some now.
Yes. Yeah, it was just like how it was colorful, mm-hmm. and how everything was. It was just like a fun time. Like school was fun.
Yeah.
It was definitely different from what I was used to back in Ghana.
Right.
With all the colors and...
Yeah, that's
music and all that kind of stuff going on with the screens.
Right.
Yeah, projectors.
And pictures of people and stories and faces and
exactly. Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's, I mean, same.
Yeah.
Right? Same. So, I remember my sixth grade social studies class and learning about different ancient civilizations and like you know that you learned about like the Tigris and the Euphrates River that year.
Exactly.
Like you know those things.
You will forever remember how that's
and stuff. All of those documentaries that you watched in class. And I always loved a social studies classroom. I mean, not all of my teachers lived by this idea, but like there's so much opportunity to have art on your walls.
Exactly.
In social studies.
Yeah.
It's a cool room to have all different kinds of things in. I mean, every room can have art, and hopefully your teachers think about that and color and
That's
my favorite part.
Yeah, I think teachers definitely, regardless of whatever age you teach, teachers should do more of placing colors. And I think it's like scientifically studied that is like ingrained in the mind of like a student, you know?
You remember
like
those things.
You remember those things forever and ever. It's like color-coded forever in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was my favorite time.
Yeah.
And I just remember going to lunch every single day. I was not a big... I'm still claustrophobic. I was not a big person with like huge, it was like a huge lunch space. And everyone had to go in a single file and get pizza and all that kind of stuff. But
And so did you jump right into the structure of schooling and the days of the schedules of school? But you did kind of.
I jumped right into it. I'm also not the person to be very... I don't voice myself that much. So I'm like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Easygoing.
Very easygoing. Mm-hmm. I had was an ESL teacher back then, which is ELL now. Miss Mateo. I've never forget her name.
Awesome.
Like, my favorite person ever. And we did amazing things in our class. Read my very first book for the very first time in our class. I remember Esperanza's Rising. Yes.
I never read it. I know I was supposed to, but I never did.
Best book ever.
Yeah.
As a result of that, I was like, I really want to read.
Right.
You know?
What's the story of that book? Like, what's the idea of it?
It was this whole idea of, I think a coming-to-age story.
Right.
And just, like, navigating through the world as, like, a girl, but then becoming a woman.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I think so, dealing with a father and all this stuff, like, I want to say almost like a migrating story.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
so it was very representative of who you are.
Yes.
And I wonder what it did about this girl being from a different place but still having a similar story like did for you as a young
girl.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think my favorite part of time was like favorite time when during school was I think we had like a assembly.
Yeah.
And it was music assembly.
Yeah.
And my age group or my friends will like go on stage and play like the saxophone and like have all this like orchestra going on. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Holy guacamole. Like this is really cool.
And you wanted to join in.
I wanted to join in because like the lights were on them, on the gold, and they were playing. It was so pretty.
Yeah.
It was like...
It's magical.
It's magical. And I'd always be there, like, grinning and, like, laughing. It was, like, the best time of my life, being in, like, an assembly, watching an orchestra, like...
Did you try an assembly out? Did you try an instrument out?
No, I didn't. I never did. But I had friends who always had, like, the little, like, black cases walking around and everything.
Hitting people in their shins.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And, of course, I had tennis, but I loved it.
You were busy.
To this day, I still go out of my way to go watch orchestras and stuff. So I just It's literally like the best.
It's magical.
It's literally magical.
Like at graduation the other day, when we were when
oh my when god,
the
Anna
faculty was leaving. Yes. Oh, and Anna knew every yes,
loved
yes.
it.
Yes, but it was magical though. Mm-hmm. It is. It is really magical to sit there and hear live instruments playing something that's like. I mean, it's why Harry Potter probably intoxicated us as kids.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And you know that thing will ring in your ear forever and ever.
Yeah.
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 But I think that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. One thing that I remember though is that I would go around the whole entire school to find sun chips.
Oh,
the vending machine.
French onion or
I think
garden salsa or the plain.
The plain one.
Harvest cheddar.
Yes. And for some reason that was like my thing.
Yeah.
I would go to the end of time to find. Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then all these stories are popping in my head now. That's kind of cool.
you're flashing through time.
Yeah. I'm like, remember some of the vivid memories are happening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yeah.
And what about fun. When you went to, you...
Yes, high school.
Moved on.
Yes.
I know you had a different plan than high school.
Yeah. So after I was done with... I think during, I was finishing up middle school, but every single thing that I did was, I was homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
So we did this program called Florida Virtual School.
Mm-hmm.
And paid more time to, tennis.
Right.
And every single thing.
Right.
So,
You were, a child actor.
Yeah, basically. And then I think at 14, I traveled to, I got a scholarship to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I traveled to Ghana to play, to Spain to travel, and to play tennis and all this stuff. So I did that on...
So you traveled to Spain, to South Africa, to Ghana.
Mm-hmm. And
where else?
Yeah, that was during my time when I was, when I was 14.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had to do that all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just really... We were really cool because my eyes were, really open during that time.
I'm seriously... I mean, you're 14?
I am.
That's 14. Crazy.
It was.
Yeah.
But it was cool.
And did you have friends in your tennis program that you were?
No, but the people that I trained with when I was younger, one of them is in the military right now, which is really cool.
Uh-huh.
But when I got to Spain,
yeah.
I was with a coach for and a host family for I think 2 months.
Oh wow!
And I trained in Valencia, so I'm pretty sure I was by the water kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And met the host family, met the coach. It was a different culture. Got used to it really quickly.
You picked up the language.
Spanish.
Uh-huh.
I could understand, you're there.
Uh-huh.
How to get around the market.
And you were going around this foreign city by yourself?
Yeah. It was cool. But,
I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, it was... Think about it, and I was oh, my God.
Yeah.
But then I was just nah, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I still remember each and every, how to get... to places by their landmarks.
Yeah.
And how to get to practice, how to get home, how to get to the market. So
is it cool. Valencia that has a really cool aquarium or something?
It probably did, but I only went as far as the
true.
Market.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I didn't do much. It was just practice.
Yeah.
Hang around with the training group and then go home kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, and then after 2 months, got another plane to Morocco to play the African Junior Championships, and which was really cool because we stayed in this huge hotel. I don't know how many rooms were in there.
Do you remember what city it was?
I don't remember.
Uh huh.
I don't remember. I have to think back, but I don't remember.
Fez, Tangiers.
I'm gonna go back and ask my best friend.
Yeah.
She would know.
Uh huh.
And right when I got there, all these African countries were there, and they're 14, 15-year-old kids. We
from
know
all over.
All of Africa.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, this huge hotel with various rooms, just looking at... I don't know how to describe it. It's the Tower of... No.
An atrium?
Yeah. This is a huge tower, right?
Uh-huh.
With all the rooms facing one direction,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost One Direction. It's almost like a circle. It's almost like a circle. And each and every floor had an African nation kind of
oh,
thing.
Oh, cool.
So you know, everyone would get out of their rooms and we were looking at one direction with like a huge water fountain in the middle.
Yeah.
And everyone could just see each other. And oh my you gosh. Got in and everyone's like yelling. It was just like,
yeah.
It was literally the best. It was like a theme park.
Yeah. For us. What the heck?
Yeah.
And so what were you, which country were you representing?
I was representing Ghana.
You are?
At that time.
Right.
So I was representing Ghana. And my best friend, who was here just not too long ago, was in our room. We were like, so I'm like,
ah! Uh-huh.
And her brother was actually the one that came to look for me and to take me to my room.
Uh-huh.
And
when was the last time you were you friends from childhood?
Yes. We've always been friends. And it's, I think we've been friends since we were like 8. Yeah.
The one who was just here.
The one who was just here. Aww. It's very funny because our family and stories are almost identical.
Yeah.
We constantly talk about it, how it's weird.
Right.
Like that. But yeah, we've been friends since then, and it was literally like the best time of my life. And I still remember it till this day.
Did you see your mom there?
No, my mom was not there. We didn't. I think everyone's parents just not. Yeah, not there. It was just...
What is this free-for-all of, yeah, like, children being globetrotters?
Yeah, it's literally... It's what the tennis life is,
right,
like, literally about.
Right.
You know a person that knows another person, you know? Right.
Like, and you have coaches.
You have coaches, and everyone looks for out for each other.
Right.
Kind of thing, which is what the tennis world is. So, you might go somewhere, you might not...
Right.
Know them, but they're very open because they understand what you're
tennis,
doing.
Yeah.
It's literally what tennis
that's
is.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then a couple months later, I believe, I got a scholarship to South Africa. I was there for a couple months. Met different... It's like a center for... Not to toot my own horn, but like...
Gifted
yeah,
youth.
Yeah, gifted me. And it was a center for kids who had like... higher potential, you know, to represent Africa in some ways. So, if I'm saying that correctly.
Uh-huh.
So, we were there for quite a bit. So, my best friend was there too.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I had kids from Zimbabwe, who I'm still friends with.
Wow.
Madagascar.
Uh-huh.
Some from Ethiopia.
Uh-huh. You still connect with all these people?
Yeah,
still connect with social media and stuff?
Yeah. Kenya. And, I live in this, like, small, almost like a, it's like apartment kind of type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a house, whatever it's called, but yeah.
Yeah.
And we lived in Pretoria, by the way.
Right.
And yeah. Tennis court, rugby, introduced to rugby, the whole 9 yards, but it was really cool.
How did you feel about going back to the United States after having all those experiences?
I was really happy to go back.
You were?
I was really sad because it was just like,
to be with family, or
to be with family, because I was like, I was excited to see my stepmom. I'm like, please God.
Yeah.
Because one, too, because I was a little spoiled, a little bit, you could say that.
Uh-huh.
My stepmom did spoil me. I'm not saying anything.
She's cool.
Yeah. She So I was ready to go back home and be with my dog.
Yeah.
And everything. So.
How old were you when you met your stepmom?
She's gonna kill me. I'm pretty sure I was like 13, 14.
Yeah.
But she's gonna tell me I was like, I'm like crazy. I'm like, no, you're not, you're a little younger.
Oh yeah. She'll
yeah,
know, like,
I knew when you were a baby. She always did this thing where like, nope.
Uh-huh.
Your butt was like this small.
Yeah. I have an uncle who tells like the same story every time I see him.
Yeah, like,
he used to fit right here.
I'm like, I was not, but okay.
Uh-huh.
So yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it was very funny because she's like, it's like, when you came in, you knew exactly what your room was like, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yes, Mom.
When you came back from those trips?
When I first met her.
Oh, when you first met her.
It's like, you knew what room you were going to be in right away. You picked your own room.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, got it. She never let me forget that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was very excited to see her.
Uh-huh.
It's like, let me come back.
Yeah.
But no, it was really fun. Mm-hmm. That whole traveling, think about it right now. It was like a grand time.
Yeah.
And I was very lucky to be able to have those experiences at
so
that
awesome.
Age.
Yeah.
And interact with various people.
To give you that perspective,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you already had an awesome perspective mm-hmm. coming here at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go around and see all of those things mm-hmm. and come back and be like, Yeah. To you were a part of this secret world of tennis that like most people don't know about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah, I think everyone, people like me right now who are in the States or back home in their nation country are like,
yeah,
we are very lucky.
Yeah.
You know, and I think as a result, like we also want to go back and make sure people have that exact same opportunity.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
And that's what you're doing.
That's what I'm doing. And I cannot wait because I feel like everything is going to kick in gear the end of this year and the beginning of next year. And I'm very excited to share my story, but yeah, also to give someone, a girl like me, that exact same opportunity. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. I'm already thinking about it. I'm like grinning because that's going to be really fun to see. You know, make a girl like smile and give them that opportunity, like you can do it, like
right,
I did it and you can do it too. Right. You know? So
you have a civic action project.
Yes. Yeah. Cap. That would never leave me alone. I'm so grateful. Honestly, think about it, I'm so grateful for this opportunity of being here at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and the stuff that I'm going to take with me forever and give it to someone else, share it with someone else so they can experience it too.
What advice would you give a student you had if they were an immigrant who, you know, was around the same age when you came here? What advice would you give them about being a part of whatever story there is of an American story, and how you made it work for you?
One thing that I would always say is, don't be scared, you know? Don't be scared that you're going to lose something, because it's always, it's always going to be a part of you.
Right.
You know? I was scared that I was going to lose myself.
Right.
Almost. Mm-hmm. Don't be scared. Take everything, I'm not sure if you would understand this, but take every single thing with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Try it out, you know? Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But don't feel like there's like a blockade. Like don't put a wall between yourself, you know? Don't put a wall between what you want or what you want to try and your heart, you know? Yeah.
Don't be afraid of losing something trying something new.
Because you're going to, So I think that's, and with that said, don't forget where you came from.
Right.
You know, that's something that, you know, you have your elders always tell you in back home, wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for us in Ghana, never forget where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you take that with you wherever you go.
Right.
And
what is the strongest message you think, if you could summarize what you should take with you from Ghana specifically?
One thing that I'm still struggling with this is don't forget where you come from, but also the idea of and I think this has to do with Western ideology.
Yeah.
Back in Ghana, I will speak for back in Ghana, but I also want to say that I know a little bit in Africa, you come in as like a team, you know? And for me, how I've grown up here, and I think I'm more of an American because I've matured here than I have matured back in Ghana.
Right.
Here, it's almost like the I in team, and you are the I.
Right.
So it's very hard trying to have that mentality, which is ingrained with you at such a long age, and then come here and just say, and have everyone tell you, in order to get up there, it has to be this.
Right.
And if you take everything with you, it's just going to be a hard thing.
Right. Kind of like what your stepmom suggested to you.
Exactly.
Because she knew that was the way you were going to be successful. Exactly.
So that's something that I'm still struggling with.
Mm-hmm. But that's something we should build on here.
Yes. But at the exact same time, I don't think I want to lose the whole idea of, not to say that my stepmom was not saying, forget about family.
Of course.
But to say that you need to not forget about where you came from, but also come with everything that you are.
Right.
And then you're going to be successful.
And bring it to the table.
Exactly.
Because it's a gift.
Exactly. But also, and also, it's not just like one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In order to be successful, you all need to do it together because you all came from the exact same place. Mm-hmm. So that's something I think will eventually mesh together in my life one day and will happen.